Are you watching Bake Off? I forget.
I am watching Bake Off. So we had a fantastic bread week.
Yes.
This week.
It's we got some bread handshakes. Week.
That kid who's like Japanese and Pakistani.
Dylan. Dylan. Yes.
It's very funny. I saw some Twitter posts that were like, you can blow Paul Hollywood's mind by just using gochujang in anything.
That's true.
He's like, I've never had this flavor before.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
It's quite spicy. I like that. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's too much for me, but I consider it a triumph.
Yeah.
How do you like the Slovakian woman?
She is so Polish, like coded. I mean, they're obviously like the same. Rachel's like, man, her accent's really thick. And I'm like, yeah, she probably learned English at like 35. And it's just like not that good at like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, conforming to like local accents. She does that thing where she gets angry. She like slaps the table, which is like such a like a Slavic like mom thing.
Oh, really?
It's very funny. Yes. Oh my God.
I think her cornucopia for Bread Week. Everything she made for Bread Week was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. But what I thought was really funny was in the first one, the first episode, I think the challenge, the showstopper was they had to make something about like their childhood, and she just made like a shoe. Like, this is a boot.
Yeah. I mean, some things track, let's say, right, on the Slavic immigrant side, I'd say. But yeah, they've got a lot of gay guys on there this season.
There's like three of them.
Yeah.
And I noticed in the last, in Bread Week, at the end when they were announcing who had to go home, they were all sitting together.
I know. It's an homage to my favorite gay guy that's ever been on the show, which is Janusz. I am Janusz from Poland. I live in Brighton Beach. We love to go to the Pride Parade in Brighton Beach.
I remember Janusz. I was texting you like all the time. I was like, hey, I think you're on Bread Week.
Fuck you, dude.
My favorite part of this season has definitely been, he was only in it for like 10 minutes collectively, but the Brooklyn guy was like, I'm too tired, I'm going fucking home.
The old man who died. He just died. This was not on the show anymore.
It was the technical, and what I imagine is, me and my fiance were talking about this, is that he probably had, you know, may have been like sundowning a little bit, and he read the technical directions like, I can't fucking do this. I'm going home.
It's over for me, y'all. He wouldn't say y'all. Use guys.
I'm going home.
Use guys. I'm going fucking home to New York. That's not a good accent, folks.
Was funny, he put a little bit of coffee in one of his pastries, and Paul Hollywood was like, that classic New York coffee taste. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Hey, nobody brews it like New York, man.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh my God, going to like some hipster coffee shop where they're like, actually, I'm from Oklahoma City. Like, it's just all transplants. He's like, fucking New York, we got it over here, it's the culture.
I remember when I was in Lake Charles with my dad, we stopped by a diner and they said they had the best coffee in all of Lake Charles, and we looked and it was just like community coffee.
That's got to be Stellar Beans.
I think
there's
it
like,
was Stellar Beans.
There's like two coffee shops or maybe three now. But they used to literally be, when I got to town like 10 years ago, there was one coffee shop in town.
It definitely was not a coffee shop. It was a diner that had coffee.
While you were talking,
yeah.
I found the comments. I found them.
Okay. All right. What Alec is talking, first off, hey, Propagandos, welcome to another episode. It is Saturday, October 12th, 10:30 a.m. And Alec is talking about comments because we're having it's just us today, so we're going to have a little bit more fun, a little looser stuff. We've got a movie we're going to talk about later. But
yeah, it's been a while for us.
We had
Rahul on to talk about Matt Walsh's piece of shit movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love that episode. Connor did his Red Dead Redemption thing, and then
we haven't recorded
anything for a bit.
Yeah, we haven't recorded in like 5 or 6 weeks, but we talk on the phone like every day, so I don't know.
We got a bunch of shit we're cooking up.
Yeah,
but just none of it's quite done yet.
Yeah. It needs to proof a little bit more.
It needs to proof a little bit more on the proofing jaw. Yeah.
Anyway, I know everybody tuning in to a propaganda podcast is happy to hear about Great British Bake Off.
I mean, It's British propaganda for sure.
I mean, we've got, you're married, I'm engaged. This is our Friday night. We watch Great British Bake Off.
Basically. That's, I think it's one of the more normal things that we do.
Yeah.
Right? Me and you. Actually, I mean, unironically, I think I saw some thread on Twitter like last week about the BBC and how, you know, they get to do their kind of propaganda in part because everybody watches other BBC shit, right? Including, was Bake Off done by like Channel 4 still?
I don't know. I think it was done. I think it was just BBC. I don't fucking know.
Originally, I know it was on the BBC originally, or maybe it is now and it wasn't originally. But like,
I'll say, much like RuPaul's Drag Race, when I was single, I never fucking watched this show. And now that I'm with someone, I'm watching both of these shows.
Dude, I used to love Drag Race.
I like Drag Race.
I'm a Drag Race enjoyer.
I like Drag Race quite a bit. But like, if I'm single, I'm not gonna watch Drag Race.
Yeah. Or Queer Eye back in the day. Ooh, I like to get a little feisty with it. shut up.
You said I didn't say shit.
A lot has happened since we last recorded, and we can't get into all of it.
No,
but so what Connor and I keep trying to get at is there's been a lot of propaganda going on, and some of it's been extremely unfounded and caused public ruckuses, and some of that has happened in my town in Lake Charles.
What's going on in Lake Charles? What's going on in Calcasieu Parish over there?
In the parish.
And this is we're going to come full circle to this. For our listeners who are not from Louisiana, have no experience with Louisiana, parish is what people in Louisiana call counties. It is the only state in America that has a different word for counties.
I don't know why we do that. Yeah, I guess it's like a holdover from like Napoleonic law from like the French times or something. But it's just one of those words that, like, when you hear it, you know you're in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And also that, like, you know, something weird's going to happen. Because if they're talking about, like, the county, the seat, or, you know, parish politics or whatever, they're always talking about some fucking corruption scandal. Like, it's every single time. I think it had to do with the fact that, like, I guess in the French system, like, it was... The parish was synonymous with the church's, like, little regional thing.
Hey, do you know the answer to this question we could easily just Google? Send us an email at propagandaspod@gmail.com.
Don't feel like it, folks. Wrong. Don't feel like it, folks. Not going to do it. So my wife, who's at least more tuned in to like local goings on than I am, because I avoid this shit like the plague because of what we're about to like talk about, informed me. She said like 2 weeks ago on like a Tuesday or some shit, she said, have you seen Nick Hunter's post? And Nick Hunter is the Lake Charles mayor, right? He's a Republican, but he's like a normal, like, small town Southern mayor, which means, and by the way, he's a mayor of a Louisiana town. So he mostly posts about what fucking parade we're doing next month and like what like outreach, what party is the city going to throw, you know, like to get people to go outside for once, right? Or like some kind of educational initiative, or, you know, they opened up like nice small town stuff, right? We put up a new playground in this park. We have like a very, very sad and stupid like Shark Tank derivative thing for like local businesses to invest in like dumb ideas that our townsfolk have. Like very much, by the way, like Parks and Rec kind of shit, right? Is what he mostly posts about. So I don't follow that guy and I don't use Facebook anyway. So she's like, have you seen this Facebook post? Because Nick Hunter, basically, our mayor, had to come out and tell the broader Lake Charles populace to stop bothering local law enforcement, basically LCPD, or I guess Lake Charles is like an amalgamation of like four little towns, some of them incorporated, some of them not. Basically, like everything that surrounds all the fucking chemical plants that are like the beating heart of this metropolitan area. To stop bothering local law enforcement, the sheriff's office, and all those people with reports that they are citing buses that could be filled with illegal migrants, right? Like Haitians or Mexicans or somebody. There are buses.
Yeah, the other, basically.
So there's just buses. By the way, a lot of buses come to Lake Charles because that's how they get all the fucking Texans over here to the casinos.
Yeah,
so that
they can
blow all their money in the casinos.
I'm going to the Golden Nugget.
So there's like a lot of buses in Lake Charles, and I'm just going to read from the post.
Okay.
Nick Hunter says, September 23rd, so this is 3 weeks ago now, While I'm not privy to law enforcement intelligence in other cities, I can tell you that law enforcement here in Lake Charles has no evidence of illegal aliens being bussed into and dropped off in Lake Charles. See a joint statement from Chief Sean Caldwell, Sheriff Stitch Guillory, that's our new sheriff, at the end of this post. If anyone wishes to communicate actual evidence or report any illegal activity, the way to do that would be, one, dial 911 if there's an emergency, blah, 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 utilize Lake Charles PD or Close Watch Calcasieu app. Then he quotes the joint statement of LCPD and CPSO, so the Sheriff's Office and Lake Charles Police Department. Those parties are aware of a post circulating on social media concerning a coach bus in the South Lake Charles area. At this time, neither LCPD nor CPSO have received any calls for service related to this bus. Citizens are urged to contact law enforcement if they spot suspicious activity in their neighborhood. Both LCPD, blah, 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 use smartphone apps, anonymous, yada, yada, yada. So basically, what he's saying is stop calling them. Our police are already, I don't know if overworked, but pretty incompetent. And even they know that this is fake, right? Yeah. Like, this is a Republican mayor with, by the way, like a pretty, you know, aggressive law enforcement of our little town, right? Very much kind of in the Trump mold or our wonderful congressperson, Clay Higgins, right? Very much in that mold. And even these people are like, please stop calling us about this.
That's very
concerned citizenry. And so my wife read this off to me, and I immediately said, I think she hadn't even finished yet because I'm an asshole. And I said, how many comments are there? And she said, there are 294 comments. And I was like, I gotta read the comments. So let's start things off, and I will explain what these buses and who these people are. These are not people being taken to the casino. These are not like greyhounds. These are, by and large, there are immigrants in the buses. These are H2 visa holders, basically agricultural workers who are get bussed out to the sugar mill in the middle of fucking nowhere in the rice fields, like southeast of town. It's very, very far away. And then instead of all of them driving their cars and parking in a parking lot that doesn't fucking exist in these rice fields, they get bussed back to town and they all park at like the Albertsons parking lot or the parking lot of the Mexican restaurant that some of them frequent, right? Or like wherever. And they get dropped off there every workday. And then they get picked up by their like family or they carpool back to wherever they live. Right. And citizens of Lake Charles have been alerted to the idea that buses are carrying like Haitians, I guess, or like, I don't know, like Taliban ISIS members or like Hamas militants or something like to their little towns. So every time they see a fucking bus in a parking lot, everybody's snapping pictures with their phones and sending it to the fucking police department.
Are the police, like, the fact that the mayor had to chime in, are the police, like, pulling over the buses that are taking people to the casinos?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, nobody's doing anything about this because the cops know that it's fake.
All right. I was just thinking, like, if the cops were pulling over the casino buses, like, that's money for the town.
Yeah, I mean, but at some point it's not, right? Like,
right.
Trust me, I probably know cops. Right, in our town, that generally speaking do believe the thing about the buses, but they basically know that it's not happening here, which is like very funny, but you know, that's how it is.
Yeah.
So I have selected for us, for our, hopefully this is not a series, for this section, I've selected some comments. I don't want to publicly out these people, Connor.
Okay.
I don't necessarily want to share their name, even on our little show.
That's fine.
But we certainly would like to read their comments.
Okay. Just let me know if you've got repeat offenders in there, like Johnny Blue has commented four different times. Let me know, like, this is Johnny Blue again. But
so
like,
my favorite
A
one
or
is
whatever.
My favorite one is Lady A. We'll call her.
Okay.
Right.
Lady A.
This is she is making the best posts and a lot of them under this. And we don't even have time to read all of them. So original comment, the bus I saw in Albertson's parking lot was an international charter bus. This is advertised on the bus itself. Yada, yada, yada. No one was on it at the time. It was at Albertson's today. It was white, not orange. Some people at the this kind of post, right? This is, by the way, probably a retired person that has nothing better to do than like drive around in the morning and take pictures of a fucking bus now, right? Now that's in their brains and they keep fucking taking pictures of it to post now in this thread. So a couple comments down. This is Lady A. Lady A responds, But they get mad when you want to know. They call you a bigot when you want to know. All caps now. They don't want you to know, so let's call them names to make them feel bad and stop. Period. Nope, I think those hollering bigot need to be checked. Period. Lull their drug connections in those groups, maybe. Period.
Okay, so what?
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 Exactly. <Okay. laughs> Here's another comment. Right. Three busloads dropped off in the Albertsons on Country Club parking lot Sunday morning. This happens every weekend. They all go into Taco Mel when they get off the bus. Then they get picked up by different vehicles. That person replies to their own reply. No clue if they are, quote, legal or, quote, illegal, but happens every weekend. This is Lady B. Watch Chenault Airport. They flying them over there. 5 exclamation points. 100 at a time. 3 exclamation points. They've been doing it for months. 4 exclamation points. Many people responding with clown emojis. Who you calling a clown? 3 question marks. Original comment. This is replying to the mayor. You may want to look into the parking lot of Albertsons on Country Club. Again, the same fucking thing.
What is going?
Because I saw a bus full going in and out of the restaurant there with my own eyes.
Alec, you have to go to this Albertsons. You have to do your own underground.
I shop at the Albertsons on Country Club. I don't go there in the morning to see this fucking, and I don't go there like after work because it's fucking crazy over there.
This morning when you were out getting breakfast, you should have been out there. You should have told your wife. You're like, hey, babe, I got to make a quick stop and just like go out there. You should. I'm serious. Do a follow up on this. Go out to the Albertsons. And to post in the Discord, like, the pictures that you see at this Albertsons.
So basically, there's, like, a bunch of comments with people, like, just, like, saying nothing, right? These kinds of posts. Okay, simple question. If this is about politics, why bus them to Lake Charles? Louisiana will go overwhelmingly red in the upcoming election. What's the point of busing them here to, quote, stir up voters when Louisiana is literally a lock for the Republicans? Question mark. So dumb. Good point, I guess. Response. Yeah. Because the Democrats are padding areas that are red states to offset the election. That's why they opened the border. Because last election, the only reason they, quote, won is the, quote, late voting by the thousands. Plus, gives them more seats in Senate and Congress.
It does kind of shine a light on, like, there is zero point in poking holes in conspiracy theory.
None.
Because they moved a goalpost. I was talking to you about this earlier. A family member of mine was talking about weather control. Yeah. Hurricane Helene and Milton are weather control. And I asked, well, what's the point? He goes, well, you know, there's natural resources in there. And the government, and it's not the government, man. It's like BlackRock and Vanguard. And they're going in there for natural resources. One, that land is dirt cheap. BlackRock and Vanguard could just buy it. They don't. And cloud. He keeps thinking cloud seeding is weather control to the point where, like, you can cause a Category 5 hurricane, which it is not.
Fuck yeah.
But when I point out, like, hey, BlackRock and Vanguard can just, like, buy this land and exploit it as much as they want. And they don't have to, like, fund this secret weather control machine. Then a couple days later, it's, hey, they're doing weather control. The Democrats are doing weather control in order to, you know, make it so that Georgia and North Carolina Republican voters can't make it out to the polls. I'm like, that's asinine. Like, that's just not true.
Isn't the election in a month?
The election's in a month. And it's never mind the fact that, like, what is it? Ossoff and Warnock are the two Georgia senators. Like, Georgia's, yeah, Georgia's purple and has, like, a very big, like, blue surge, thanks to the work of lots of people on the ground. I wanted to say Stacey Abrams, but it's like, well, that's one person as opposed to, like, yeah, cut that. Lots of people are working in Georgia, not just one person. And North Carolina, you know, has a Democratic governor, and Asheville's kind of weird because it's, like, split right down the middle of, like, two different opposing political ideologies in terms of their districting. So it's very interesting. But anyway, you point out, like, the flaws. They just moved to goalposts. And like I told you, like, this family member and other people of their ilk are so defiant about climate change being, like, a man-made thing. They really believe it's like a Chinese conspiracy to, like, you know, ruin our economy, I guess, that in the face of actual climate change and worsening weather conditions, they can't accept that it's real, and they have to say that, sure, it's man-made, and it's like weather control. It's not pollution. It is like literally a guy with like buttons and levers dictating the what the weather patterns are going to be. And the problem is there's no why that will stick. And that doesn't convince them otherwise. You could go, you could take all these commenters to that Albertson and like make them physically meet all these people, and they'd still be like, nah, I don't know.
It's like people, I mean, people at my job, for instance, right? They'll be like, it doesn't get cold anymore. And I'm like, yeah, it's global warming. And they're like, nah, probably not, right? Like, God wants it to be warm, right? Or like, dude, I go to fucking mass and we do a hurricane prayer. And it's like, look, man, the big man, either he wants it or he's okay with it, right? Like, I don't know. Look,
what does it take before you're storming Comet Pizza with a fucking gun looking for child pornography? Like,
well, the good thing is Comet Pizza is pretty far away. I mean, I hope nobody goes and shoots up the Albertsons.
Yeah,
but, I really, really hope that.
But you see what I mean, right? Like, there were mass shootings in that Walmart in Texas of the person who was like, I believe he was Latino. He's just like, there are illegal immigrants coming to like destroy America and like decimate white people. So he's just shooting up people in a Walmart. Where does this end? Anyway, keep reading these comments.
Okay, here's Lady B again. Very much to your point. Lady B. They flew in 146 male illegals from Alexandria Airport. From Alexandria, so funny. Airport a couple months ago to Chenault Airport in white vans. Pick up 146 illegal males from there. 3 exclamation points. Lying. Saying that the plane was having mechanical problems that was flying to Guatemala to bring them back home, but landed in Lake Charles at Chenault. 3 exclamation points. And all the illegals got off the plane and got into different vans and brought into our city, 4 exclamation points. And the plane left and went back to Alexandria Airport. But I thought they had mechanical problems, 4 question marks. People not crazy or dumb. Stop the lies. I saw it with my own eyes.
All right, so this lady obviously hasn't been paying attention to the fact that, like, Boeing planes are just falling apart. Like, planes are, yeah, a plane has mechanical problems? No fucking shit. Go to an airport. Try and book a flight. And please tell me if there's like no problems. Who in the past like 2 years, who has had a flight with like zero issues whatsoever? Why am I arguing with this person I've never even fucking met?
Because it makes you lose your mind. Because
we need
this
content.
Is like the world that we live in.
We clearly need content for this week.
I'm going to scroll down in this thread and we're going to get to the funniest fucking ones because like underneath the guy that's like, they're dropping the buses at Albertsons are here every week. Don't know if they're illegal or not. Just saying, right?
Okay.
This lady, Lady A, just blows the fuck up.
All right.
Here's her first post. All caps. Oh, the whole post, all caps.
All right.
You better wake up. That is exactly what's going on, period. Infiltrated and keeping an eye on them, period. That's what Democrats do, holler bigot, when you alert people to dangers in their midst. Like mist, like of cloud.
Like the Stephen King
Oh, yes.
Story.
God's about to take care of that, and soon. Other reply. Where's your proof they aren't? This is in reply to saying, like, well, how do you know if these people are illegal? Where's your proof they aren't? Another reply. It's just, she's just banging these out. All caps again. Take it from someone that just saw something just like this. They bring them in. Foreigners that are established in the community from a ways back to avoid suspicion. Gives them so-called jobs. This did not just start, been planned for a long, long time. No successful takeover happens at the last minute. It's been playing for many years. I'm reading this verbatim, by the way. Many towns, Lake Charles, already taken over. Look up, St. Paul, Minnesota, Terre Haute, Springfield, Ohio, many others. How the hell do you think that happened? Period. We're not done yet.
Oh, my God.
You want to put kink in their plans. Have a watch that follows them every space where. It's your town, your right to ma. Make sure you and your family's straight, period. Evil always hollers discrimination because it puts a light on their activities, period. Stand up and protect your community, period. If it's nothing, it's nothing. Only one way to find out. No, period.
So you went to school in Terre Haute. And I imagine you have not been back since you graduated. But
I went to homecoming at least twice. So I have been back to Terre Haute on a couple of occasions. Yes.
Okay. Is there a large immigrant community that why was Terre Haute mentioned? What's
there, I don't know. I have heard of like the Springfield, Ohio thing. I've heard of, I don't know what was in St. Paul. I tried to look up Terre Haute and there was maybe some dispute or some kind of shooting or some kind of crime maybe done by someone Hispanic. It's hard to tell what these people are referencing.
Well,
right?
St. Paul, oh my gosh. Hang on. I need to look this up because that's where Ilhan Omar is from, right?
Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay, is that her district?
Let's see here. 11% of the population of St. Paul are immigrants. It's mostly Somalians and Ethiopians. The next largest group is Latin America. So, yeah, again, the other.
That makes sense. Yep. They're murdering, they're raping, they're eating the dogs and cats, right? Like something, something, something.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
They're eating them. They're very delicious, I've heard. I've never had it, but I would. Lots of people are saying, so here's the punchline, right? Because you're like, there's lots of crazy people that live everywhere. But people like Lady A are like, these are, you know, these are the Trump demographic, right? These are like the QAnon people in 2024. Mm-hmm. Would you believe that Lady A, I will not read her name. She is from Lake Charles, or so her Facebook, page says, right? Intro, she's, all caps again, Warrior for Jesus, Designated Watcher on the Wall, which I assume is like a combo Trump wall reference, like border wall reference, and like Game of Thrones reference.
There might be some like combination or synthesis of the two. Like, I don't know, the people who like Game of Thrones don't really seem to understand the politics of Game of Thrones sometimes. But yeah, she might be part of like a border wall militia or some shit like that.
So this person is like all up in the Lake Charles mayor's like posts comments, right? Like telling people that they need to defend their little town or whatever. Would it surprise you to know that according to this person's Facebook page, they moved to fucking Houston 36 years ago? This person has not lived in Lake Charles in over 30 years.
Yep. So it's all just like what I've heard about this Albertsons is it makes sense. It makes sense. This is why I can't go back to Lake Charles.
This person, like, goes to the grocery store with Connor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's wearing her, like, you know, bring America back, like, hang George Soros t-shirt.
You've seen
while Connor is, like, getting kale or whatever.
Yeah, you've seen this woman at a restaurant. She orders an unsweet tea with no ice because the ice is how they fuck you over. Well, she doesn't say
can
fuck you over.
Can I have four sweet and lows?
Yeah, can I have four sweet? Wow, that is a very specific kind of person. Big hair, bell sleeve. They shop at Palais Royal, if Palais Royal's still open.
She's got some big jewelry on.
Big jewelry. Yeah.
Oh, no. Her, oh my God, this is amazing. So her like, what is the banner? We might cut this, but like the banner at the top of her thing is clearly, it looks like maybe a Trump rally. It's just like an empty thing. And then her.
That sounds like a Trump rally.
And then her like profile picture is her like awkwardly framed, like she cut out her ex-husband or something. And then it's wreathed in gold. And at the bottom, there's that like the Deadpool thing where he's making the sexy pose. This is unreal. This is like a fake person to me. It's just, this is like perfect Louisiana, like suburban mom shit to me.
We'll circle back. We'll talk about Deadpool.
The framing of her thing is like it's done in MS Paint because it's not a clean line. It's like she went in with like the iPhone and like framed it with the little sketch thing. God, it's so good.
I desperately want to know if Lady A is on TikTok. If she is on any dating apps, I desperately want to see that.
How can we reach out and help?
You sent me a link to the profile. I do not have a Facebook, so I cannot open that.
What a shame.
I know. It has inhibited my ability to research for the show before, but fuck you, Zuckerberg. You only have me for Instagram. God damn it.
Wait, this is her post because she has a totally public Facebook page because she's old, right? So like 30 minutes ago, she posted one of these boomer memes. It's just all text. It says, remember in Lion King when Scar cheated to win the title as king, ? And the Pride Land was overrun with hyenas, ? And all of the lions lost everything they had built and maintained, just asking no reason. Holy fuck.
Oh my
overrun
God.
Overrun with hyenas. Wow.
Oh my God. I mean,
that's certainly a thing you composed.
That rules. Jesus. This is subtle language choices in there.
This is the kind of person that posts those AI like pray for this troop, and it's just like a guy whose like legs are like melting into the floor.
It's a cat wearing like rescue gear. It's like, how'd they get that cat in those clothes?
Yeah, fuck. Okay, we have to move on.
We gotta move
on. Oh, she's posting about harp. Okay, I gotta stop. What's harp? This is a gold mine.
Right.
That's what your family member thinks is probably controlling the weather. Harp is like, gotcha. I think it's like a radio frequency array that they built in like the 50s to like, you know, make radar for planes better.
Yeah.
And it's one of these conspiracy things where that's how they control the weather, right? Is this like pictures of these like old timey like radio arrays somewhere in like Montana? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Can you talk for me real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I sound okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do we need to clap back in? Did you have a pause?
No. Everything's fine. Okay. I just keep getting these pop-ups, and I worry. I let some of my students use my piece of equipment to record podcasts, and now it's like kind of wigging out, but it could be many, many different things. So I got to conduct some tests.
They blew weed smoke into your mixer to get it high?
Possibly. It could also be like I got a shitty XLR cable. We'll see.
Listeners, I have no idea what any of that means.
It's... so let's move on. I mean, you mentioned Deadpool, which I did see Deadpool and Wolverine,
oh, fuck.
And it was an intense experience. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want to move into the fun movie we actually watched?
So my wife, as happens at least once a year, sometimes once or twice a year, she convinced me to go see another Marvel movie because she wanted to go see it. I really fucking hate these things. I try to avoid them. It's just like they're all the same, and I think the quality is like just lower and lower every time.
Yeah.
And this one is essentially the same. It's another Deadpool movie. The first one was really fun. I had the experience that I often do with these Marvel movies, Connor, where like... basically days later I almost don't remember what the plot is. It like goes into my brain and immediately out of my brain. Mm-hmm. Like it just gets rejected by like the cells that form memory in my fucking, you know, my neurons just like cough it back up.
Right.
But it sucked. I don't know. I did not like it.
Yes. So I see every single Marvel movie. I don't watch the TV shows. And the only reason I see these movies is that I started watching them with a friend of mine. Simultaneously, while the quality declined, he and I both got very, very busy. And he's a very good friend of mine. Well, we have been talking with him about like trying to find a way to get him on the show somehow.
Is this Ned or Billy?
Cody.
Oh, Cody. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait, we were on his podcast, I could say. Yeah, so our buddy Cody, who one of the hosts of Honey, I Shrunk the Binge, one of the only podcast that Alec and I have been featured on so far. But
the best and only podcast that we have guested.
But Cody and I, we go see every single Marvel movie because he's really, really busy and I've gotten really busy. So this is the only thing we absolutely dedicate to make time for, and we do not like these movies. We have a bad time going to see Marvel, but we have so much fun like clowning on it and joking about it and making fun of it afterwards. That's why we go see these things. So we're going to the theater to go see Deadpool and Wolverine, and we're just like, who is this for? Like, why are they making this? And, you know, we've been seeing diminishing returns every time we went to go see the Marvels, and it was like a near empty theater. Thor, Love and Thunder, near empty theater.
Even like the Marvel bros are like admitting that like it's the run out of juice.
Yeah.
Right? Like these are not what they were.
Yeah. Well, you know, they started getting diverse and putting chicks in it, man.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. While I'm walking up to the theater, I hear a little like chant in the background. I'm like, what is that chant?
Now wait, you go to see it opening night.
I go to see it
right?
Opening night. I always go to see these things opening night. And I start hearing like, Deadpool 3. And I walk up and there is a huge crowd outside the theater. And it's all these people wearing, there seems to be a Houston Marvel movie viewing club of which there are hundreds of members. and they all have matching t-shirts, and on the back, they have unique nicknames for themselves, like their superhero nickname. And, you know, the moment I see them, I'm like, oh, this is who the movie is for.
Mm-hmm.
Them.
So it's like Scott Johnson, a.k.a. what, Deadpool 3? I don't know.
Professor Sex or something like that.
Okay, Professor Sex rules.
These are all adults, you know. And it's great. Like, these aren't just like, look, nerds have changed, all right? Something happened where the nerds got buff, and it's really, really weird.
So Damn, there's a guy named, like, Coolverine or something.
Yeah, and they're jacked as fuck. Like,
that fucking so sucks.
Huge.
Oh, no. I need to go to the gym.
Yeah,
shit.
Like, I can't make fun of these guys. They'll beat my ass. So.
Who's a fucking nerd now, you little turd?
So we go into the theater. It's packed to the gills. We're sitting next to a couple that is not part of the movie club. And then a guy who is, he's not in the movie club, but he's wearing custom-made, that he made, we think, Deadpool shoes, a Deadpool hat, and a Deadpool jersey with a Deadpool jean jacket over it. Like, very, he is ready for it. And we're just like, okay, well, hopefully this guy's fun. And
no offense, did this person appear perhaps, like, on the spectrum? Because I know this kind of guy, right? But I kind of have a singular vision of them.
I will say, the guy's behavior, he was talking quite a bit and making comments, and Cody did not say anything because he's like, I'm afraid he's going to shoot me.
Oh, no, that's not good. Okay.
Like, definitely like, man, is this going to be an Aurora, Colorado kind of thing? Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you just mess with the merc with the mouth, and then he starts shooting up the theater. We didn't want that. So there are two things that really kind of shine in this movie. For one, like, when you finally hear Channing Tatum's, like, Cajun accent, the whole theater was dead silent except for me and my friend, and we were, like, losing our shit because it was just, like, so over the top, intentionally so. And the audience didn't know what to make of it. But the audience was laughing at everything. Deadpool dancing to NSYNC, Deadpool using Wolverine claws to stab a guy in the butthole. They were laughing. When Deadpool said Mijo, it brought the house down. We're like, what's so funny about...
That's a Houston classic right there.
Yeah,
anything in Spanish.
The line was just like, hey, listen up here, mijo. Why don't you kiss my cinnamon ring? And everyone's like hyperventilating laughing. I'm like, all right, I guess that's what this is for. But the guy next to Cody, the Deadpool freak, so he's like singing along in perfect tune and harmony with the songs that... Like, he's a good singer. So we're like, well, we can't really... He's more entertaining than a lot of stuff that's going on. If there's a when Deadpool dog or dog pool shows up, he just goes doggy bark 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 bark. I'm like, all right. But the funny,
you know, I mean, I guess this showcases that I have low self-esteem because I am like cringing out of my chair as Connor talks. Like, to you can't see me, audience, but I'm having a bad time.
I'll say one last thing about this Deadpool fan. So in the trailer, there's a trailer for Joker Folie et Deux, the sequel to Joker that's apparently a huge flop right now, and everyone's clapping, and it's like the theater's clapping for trailers. They're so excited. It's the only experience I've ever had in a movie theater where the theater goes quiet for trailers. And they're loving it. And at the end of it, the guy next to Cody just goes, bullshit, jukebox musical, fuck that. And we're like, he's right.
Bass, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, so we leave the theater when the movie's over, and there are like some marketing guys trying to, like, you know, get survey questions answered on an iPad, and the Deadpool guy just like runs to him, and he's so excited to answer questions. But Cody and I are like, let's get the fuck out of here. So we leave. And, you know, the movie, I argued with some family members who really liked it. I hated it. I really hated it. I like Channing Tatum's Cajun accent. That's about it. And it made me, I don't know, it kind of like bummed me out about like the future of movies. And we've talked about like sequels and like,
they make me sad about like the world. Like, I go out of these things and I'm like kind of depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, and
but I'm just out of touch, and I'm just an asshole. I'm just like a, you know.
I don't know, man. It's like
I'm just a fucking snob, right? Like,
it's
that's
not
fine,
made for us. It's made for the Deadpool fan. It's made for the Deadpool fan who was probably a part of the Marvel movie club, and they had to say, like, yes, hey, dude, we're kicking you out because of your behavior at the Paw Patrol movie.
Like, and I should be clear, like, what Connor viewed, I was not there for this, but I should be clear that, like, I am very happy that those guys exist to enjoy this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, like, those guys... they're not going to go and enjoy like Reagan ironically or even like get mad about it, right? Like that's not like I go out of these things. I felt so much worse going out of Deadpool versus Wolverine than I did going to see Reagan, right? Yeah. Or watching like any of these terrible fucking Angel Studios movies that we watch for like the podcast.
Yeah.
It's just so it like drains me of life. Cause like it's not that it's bad. It's serviceable. You can make something a lot worse, but like, dog, after I've seen Ryan Reynolds do his thing like twice, I didn't need a second one, and I definitely didn't need a third one.
I'll say this about Ryan Reynolds. That's the thing he does in every fucking movie.
That's his thing. That's his style.
Yeah.
I
don't like it.
Once is enough.
And he did like a kids friendly version of it for Detective Pikachu, right? Like, I mean, I didn't see that. Pretty nice.
Pretty good. Connor was like, it was the best one.
I like seeing all the Pokemon on the screen. But that was also a while ago when I used to drink, so I think I got like hammered and saw
drink and smoke a lot of weed.
But to something that you said, Alec, like I'm a little jealous. Like I wish that we didn't have this like need to dissect something. Like my family members that I argued with, they were like, you are on your fucking high horse about this. I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, I'm
not.
That's
what people say to me.
I'm right. You're wrong. You are wrong to like something. Like, come on.
My wife
said,
you have a podcast to talk about movies you hate. You're a fucking insane person. It's like, yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. It's not like the world was screaming for two more white guys to make a podcast where they talk about movies and joke around. But we did.
That's what our people like to do. Yeah. This is our kind of art. This is Gaga or whatever. Yeah. This is our,
And also,
Gaga. I'm so fucking stupid.
I should also tell people like who are listening, do not let that dissuade you from making a podcast. Like, are there dozens of podcasts where two best friends talk about movies? Yeah. So what? Make one.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're really fun to make.
They're really fun to make. Alec and I have so much fun doing this. Maybe that's why they keep making Marvel movies. Maybe they're fun to make.
They're just having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making a fuckload of money is the problem, right? Like, even when the Marvel movies fail, when they, like, suck or whatever, they always, like, double their money.
Yeah. Like, there's only been, like, one movie that bombed, and it was The Marvels. That's the one that had all the women in it.
Scarlet Web did shit.
That's technically not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but you are correct.
Oh, God. All right, never mind.
Why do I give a fuck? Why did I correct you just then?
It's so funny.
What is wrong with me? You know what I need to do? When we finally realize that like the podcast is wrapping up and we're done and it's our swan song, I'll tell you this. Our very last episode is going to be live. We'll do it live on Twitch. And I'll drill a hole in my head. I'll trepan myself. So that is that how you pronounce it? I've only read it.
The trepaning?
Yeah, I'll trepan myself. And then I'll turn on, I don't know. What's a dumb fucking movie that's come out recently? I'll turn on If. John Krasinski's If. And I'll just go.
There you go. Yeah. Just Connor's head in like a drill press as like it slowly fucking pierces his skull.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be you, like, screaming about how, like me just talking out of my ass, and then you getting, like, more and more and more angry about, like, how, it's not in the Marvel, that's DC. Oh, actually, that's a remake of a remake. Actually, that's a reference to another thing. Like, I don't know.
It doesn't even make me mad. It's just, like, I just know it. I have useless knowledge that is about the MCU, and then I have forbidden knowledge, which is like why I hate Hollywood, why I hate movies, and why I love
all
to
the
watch
shit
them.
You knew about Diddy before it happened.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But having said all that, there is a movie that we watched that we absolutely loved, and that Jeremy Solnier's Rebel Ridge that's out on Netflix right now. Boy, I never thought a drama thriller about civil asset forfeiture could be so fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe you would have watched this had I not recommended it. But I have been following Jeremy Saulnier since he made, since I got recommended Blue Ruin, maybe like a year after it was made, because I did not see it in theaters. And Blue Ruin is like a fucking masterpiece. It's wonderful. If, by the way, if you watch Rebel Ridge after listening to this, go watch Blue Ruin if you even can anywhere. It's fantastic. And the films of his that I've seen. So all the films of his that I've seen, I haven't watched Murder Party, but I've seen Blue Ruin and Green Room and Rebel Ridge, right? Basically the three films that he's written and directed, and Rebel Ridge he also produced, although that doesn't always make a huge difference. His style, his theme going through them is like, I'd say actually fairly low level suspense. Right, Blue Ruin and Green Room are actually much more compact. His movies get bigger as they go on. Blue Ruin is like a very small story. It's basically one guy's kind of quest for bizarre revenge. Green Room has a small group of people and just a bunch of white supremacist neo-Nazis in the woods in Oregon. And then Rebel Ridge is like the biggest one, and it's still actually pretty small, right? There's like a small cast, and it's a small thing. But the suspense is just off the charts, right? Like, this is, I think, more emotional engagement and, like, suspense than you can get out of, you know, like we just talked about, like, a Marvel movie where narratively, the stakes are the entire world and the future of the universe or whatever.
Yeah.
So Rebel Ridge came out this year on Netflix. Netflix paid for it and apparently got Jeremy Saulnier to write and direct it. And It's got quite a bit of like buzz on film Twitter, right? And I don't see much else.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah, I don't really see anything else. I mean, this is like a really, really great movie to watch with your dad, I'll say. Like, this seems like a good, me and my dad are hanging out. We don't have anything to talk about. Let's pop this on. I came across this movie because somebody used a clip of it to say Aaron Pierre, the main character, and it's a very good scene, I should say. They used it as a way to justify that Aaron Pierre should be playing the next Green Lantern, which, cut to 2 months later, he is. He's now playing the Green Lantern. Like,
well, at least he'll get his bag. Fuck it, man. Let him do.
Yeah. I'm hopeful because it's not part of the MCU. It's actually part of the DC universe with James Gunn.
There you go.
James Gunn is at the helm of the DC studios right now. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it.
Aaron Pierce is phenomenal. Don Johnson, I mean, just old school villain and like
God.
But he's just so good. So Aaron Pierce and Don Johnson are fucking amazing. And like, I had never really heard of Aaron Pierce before. And come to find out, if you get a good actor in like a breakout role on like a Netflix thing, sometimes those guys are just like classically trained actors, as this man is, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it shows. He's so fucking good.
So do we want to do like a brief little plot synopsis here?
Let's do a brief plot synopsis. So Aaron Pierre is, as we learn, is basically a guy who's like fallen off the face of the earth, either by choice or by circumstance. His cousin is basically in jail, and the plot begins when Aaron Pierre needs to bring bail money to like a small town courthouse in Louisiana. And I'll tell you, right, like the parish thing, this feels like Louisiana. Like a bunch of scenes feel exactly the way like central and maybe eastern like Louisiana do. I mean like anywhere and like below the kind of middle line, right? Like this could be Alexandria. And then when they drive somewhere else, that could easily be Calcasieu Parish, right? Or yeah, like Jeff Davis Parish, which is a real place, by the way. Jeff Davis Parish.
Jesus,
oh, yeah, that
Christ.
Jeff Davis. Yep, that's
Jesus.
The one.
So yeah, Aaron Pierre, he has like $36,000 on him in order to bail out his cousin. Cops pull him over. They take all the money as part of civil asset forfeiture. And then Aaron Pierre's character goes to a local courthouse to try and figure out like, hey, how can I get my money back? And some of the dialogue, it truly does explain this is how civil asset forfeiture works. But they do it in a way that does not feel like you're getting a lecture, which I really admired. It is very much like a character, a fish out of water. It's like, I don't understand why this is happening to me. It feels real.
Aaron Pierre is as surprised as you would be, Yeah. Right? He doesn't know how, and it is, right? Like, this word, everybody hates it, and, like, everybody points out that it's annoying. This is, like, actually Kafkaesque,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
there is no way to get your money back. The police take it, and then maybe you can get a court to maybe give it back to you maybe later, right? And he needs it now because, as we learn, his cousin was a federal informant. And when he goes to prison, if this bail money is not delivered, he will be transferred to, I believe it's a state prison. I guess that's the idea.
It's a state prison.
Where he could very easily be killed. Yeah. Right? Where he will be recognized as a state's witness against some kind of, you know, gang member from another life and be killed.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to get too into the plot because I think this movie's so good that I would rather you, like, pause the podcast right now and go watch it. But
this is all in, like, the first 15, 20 minutes,
yeah.
right? And the movie's long. The movie's a two hours
20 and 15
minute movie,
minutes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it does not feel that long, by the way.
Aaron Pierre's character meets an employee named Summer and the courthouse who is very sympathetic to his cause and seems to say to, like, you know, this happens quite a lot in our town. We don't even have a public defender in town. We can't afford a public defender. And the chief of police, good luck with him. Like, he got sued a couple years ago and he's had to clean up his act. And this is where Aaron Pierre goes to meet Don Johnson, the chief of police, and tries to get his money back. It doesn't go so well.
Let's just say, right, like, just pause it right here. Spoilers. Please go watch this movie. If you have Netflix, it's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Right.
And that way we don't have to feel bad about spoiling this movie for you because it's fucking worth watching.
It is. It is. So Aaron Pierre, Don Johnson does not give him the money back. So Aaron Pierre leaves and then he returns and they finally have all the information they need about Aaron Pierre's character. And they see, oh, he's in the U.S. Marine Corps. He's called McMap. What does that mean? Is he like a navigator or something? And while the chief of police is talking to Aaron Pierre outside the police station, that is when they realize that McMap is actually Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. And he's on the Wikipedia page of like badass Marines who train people in like jujitsu and shit.
He's like a super karate man, basically.
He immediately disarms and detains three police without firing a single shot. He gets his money back. And then he runs, gets his brother out of jail, and then he just, like, immediately turns around and puts his hands up because he knows, I just got my brother out of jail, but now I am going to jail. Don Johnson arrests him and drives him out to say, like, hey, look, we took your money. When you were in the police station, you saw that we take a lot of people's money. You need to understand why that is. After I got sued, it was mandated that we go through some police reform. But they gave us no money to do it. And that's when Don Johnson says, look, they imposed police reform requirements on us and they gave us no money to do it. And so the way that we're doing it is civil asset forfeiture. We pull people over, we take all their shit, and then that money goes to the town. It's not just the police, it's also the town. To which Aaron Pierre points out, like, didn't you use some of that money to buy a $900 margarita machine? And Don Johnson's like, well, that was for morale. So you get to
keep morale up.
You get to see that the cops, this is like a perfect villain where we get to see the villain really believes that they're the hero of the situation, or at least the anti-hero.
Well, not just that. They're in an incredibly realistic scenario, which is is some of the reasoning for this probably racial? Probably. Right. But like the core of it is austerity, which essentially affects everyone, regardless of like race or class in a fashion, and certainly fucking affects city management. Right. And whether or not you think like it's important for a small town to have cops, it is important for them to have a fucking functional judicial system. Right. It's important for there to be public works. And the implication here, which is not totally unbelievable, right, is like, if this city, you know, like loses any more money or is able to not make money, they are going to be disincorporated. And when you get disincorporated, everything falls on the state, and the state is even more subject to like enormous schemes of austerity than you are, right? Like your public water, if you're in a small Louisiana town, let's imagine, and your town gets disincorporated, then you are probably going to lose access to like water. because the state is unable to provide that.
Yeah.
That's the thing the local government needs to do.
And then another reason why they're facing this disincorporation is because the chief of police got sued and the settlement bankrupted the entire town.
Many such cases, by the way.
Yeah.
Very real. So, like, regardless of whoever you blame, right, there are people that are in this situation literally right now, right? I don't know if they're using civil asset forfeiture to basically fund the workings of their town, but...
Yeah. Now, the main character is a survivalist. So he, like, spends a lot of his time in the woods, and he's catching fish and cooking it himself. Then we have Don Johnson talking about, like, this is what we're doing to keep the town alive. There are many characters who are privy to the conspiracy within the plot of this film that stay away from it because they say, I have a kid. I can't lose this job.
Exactly.
You find out that some people, you know, have charges that were sealed, and they need to keep those charges sealed for their life to be maintained. Self-preservation.
Or to ruin their life.
Yeah. Self-preservation is a huge theme in this movie that pays off in dividends by the end of it. But another theme in this movie is let it all burn down. There's a scene where they burn down the municipal courthouse, and someone's like, what about the history of this building? To which the main character aptly says, a lot of this history is, like, very hurtful to people. Let it burn.
Yeah, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah. So I think that's a great thing of, like, these characters are – a lot of these characters are doing everything that they can to maintain their livelihood, their quality of life. But at the same time, hey, if it's that bad, is it worth maintaining?
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to point out one of, like, my few issues with the film. If this is in Louisiana and Mr. Aaron Pierre is living in the woods, you should show him being eaten alive by mosquitoes, because it is impossible to be in the woods at any time of day, essentially, especially at night, without that happening to you.
It was raining, so maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they definitely don't bite you when it's raining.
So the grand conspiracy, so Don Johnson, after he gives this little speech about, like, this is what we're doing to survive, he drops him off at a hospital and says, hey, look, your brother got stabbed in prison. Anyway, here's all your money.
You were too late.
You were too late. Here's all your money. Your brother might make it. But if you just, like, never come back to this town, we will let you off, even though you, like, disarmed three police. And Aaron Pierre says, fine. His brother dies. And he's just like, whatever, fuck it, I'm getting out of here. I know that, like, I got by the skin of my teeth. But the woman who helps him out, it turns out that she is a recovering addict, and a cop breaks into her house and injects her with heroin.
It's implied, right?
Oh, no. You see...
Do we learn later that it actually did happen? But we
learn it happened because that awful cop played by Emery Cohen in a great performance.
Oh, that's right.
He does it again.
Ooh,
he, like,
God,
keeps injecting
so fucking
her.
Evil.
He keeps injecting, like, her with heroin, which at that point she's gonna relapse. Like,
by the way, he's, like, even more evil. Like, Don Johnson does a great job as, like, the evil sheriff.
Yeah,
but he's, like, it's not that he's, like, defensible, but he's, like, it's understandable. Emery Cohen is just so fucking disgusting. He is, like, the evil cop, right? When you find out about these fucking cops that are just, like, racist and violent and, like, shitty and covering stuff up and, like, you know, killing people, literally, and covering it up, oh, my God, he's great.
Yeah, there are a lot of cops. So Don Johnson, you know, he's corrupt. And he's trying to preserve his own quality of life as well. There are some cops that are going along with Don Johnson just because they don't want to have to endure, like, his wrath. And then you have Emery Cohen, who's just like, I want to be evil. Like, he is the most, like, uncomplex character of the whole movie, just because, like, there's nothing really that deep to his motivations.
It's like, it's actually, like, unclear whether he's just, like, deeply racist. But trust me, as a person who lives around here, oh, holy fuck, is that guy is spot on.
Yeah.
And then, ironically, the other guy that's spot on, I don't know if he's his partner, Emery Cohen's partner, but David Denham, who you will recognize from, like, TV shows and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Plays, like, the slightly less evil version of Emery Cohen, right? Like, these are, by the way, the kind of people that when people say, like, you know, ACAB or something... Somebody around here especially will say, look, I know cops and they're good people. And they're basically talking about, like, David Denham's character, where, like, they will do deeply evil things, right? But, like, in their heart of hearts, they're true believers, and there's probably maybe some line that they won't cross.
Oh, yeah.
even though that does not include not stealing people's fucking money, right? Like, you know, theoretically, there's some line they will not cross.
Yep.
And that's David Denham, and he does, again, great job. There's so many good performances here.
So after the woman is injected with heroin, and her boss is tipped off, and so she has to go through a drug test, and it's heavily implied she's about to lose her job, she's about to lose her entire quality of life, she's about to lose access to being able to visit her child. That is when Aaron Pierre is like, okay, it's time for me to get back involved in this, and it's time for me to like dole out my own justice. And through non-lethal methods, he basically like storms a police station, takes all the weapons they've confiscated over civil asset forfeiture, and he saves the day.
It's very, very fun. I mean, I think the action scenes have are good. I think they have some, like, I've got always nitpicks.
Yeah, I
right?
wanted
gun
to know, like,
and that kind of stuff.
Somebody messaged me. There was some image of a gun. Someone messaged me on Twitter, and there was footage of, like, someone shooting a gun. He's like, does this make Alec get hard or what? And I wanted to know, like, hey, so, like, how do you feel about the guns and the gunplay in this film?
They're very fun. So, okay. I mean, this is like the theme of the show is that Aaron Pierre, he's Batman, right? As Connor aptly pointed out, he like does not, he will not use lethal force. He will not use guns to kill these fucking cops, which like, look, if it doesn't matter. I saw a lot of people comment on this on fucking Twitter, and I guarantee you some of them are not left-wing people. When you watch this movie, by the time you arrive at the fucking, you know, the action scenes, you want to see some of these motherfuckers die, like, in the parking lot in front of the fucking precinct.
Yeah.
And look, you know, we're in spoilers, right? The film doesn't give you that. It does not grant you that. Aaron Pierre is Batman, and he subdues these people and beats the fucking shit out of them, but he doesn't shoot them in the face, right? Which is, I mean, to be honest, right? One of the things you kind of want to see.
And
that's like,
that's a testament to the performances of all the actors. Like, they play such shitty people that you're like, you are so good in this movie, I want you to die.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a thematic and I think political choice, right? Like, to make. It very much kind of defines what this movie is and who Aaron Pierre is in it.
Oh, yeah.
The gunplay is very fun, right? Cops pointing pistols at people and doing all kinds of bullshit tactical stuff is so very real, and they do it a lot.
Yeah.
And watching Aaron Pierre not looking, kind of disassembling these fire, like unloading and then disassembling these firearms and like throwing the pieces across a parking lot is like very fun and cool for me. Right.
Now, within this police department, there are two characters that are kind of sympathetic. There's, as you pointed out, David Denman, who is, sorry, spoilers, he ended up being like kind of the leak to the municipal judge about like the corruption that's going on. It's this convoluted conspiracy. This is like our only kind of real note.
It's a great red herring, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's a kind of a convoluted conspiracy of arresting people in the county, either passing through or that, I guess maybe they, I don't think they live there. I think they're mostly passing through. They arrest them. They escalate the situation. They take all their shit. And then they put them in jail for 90 days because this town does not have a public defender. So 90 days is the limit of detention period. So after 90 days, all the charges are either knocked down to misdemeanors or completely dismissed. So they take all their shit and they don't have any charges on them. It's just like they're in jail for 90 days, which undeniably fucks up their life and they feel nothing.
And which, by the way, prevents them. I think this is the crux because like the movie is good enough to where it's not actually, at least to me. Look, I tried to pay attention. I did. But it's not exactly clear to me like what the scheme is here. And it still doesn't really bother me because the movie's so fucking good. My understanding is that, like, the point of putting them in jail is to keep them from filing papers about the civil asset forfeiture. So basically, the civil asset forfeiture is the purpose of the arrest. And then you just let them go because you already got, and they legally can't really get back all the shit that you took from them. And they're using the sale, the auction of this stuff, or literally if it's cash, right, just like taking it, to run the town, to pay for, like, you know, at least the police department. And then, you know, it's very clear that, like,
somebody said it pays for Christmas lights for the town.
Yeah.
Like,
right. The city hall and, like, the city courthouse is getting a cut.
Yeah. And it's interesting because one of the judges that dealt with the case against the chief of police, he points out that, like, we imposed police reform on him, hoping it would make him leave. And instead, he just decided to do civil asset forfeiture. But we cannot deny that this is what's keeping the town funded. So they are like, they're all complicit, whether they want to be or not. And that's a very interesting portrayal of, like, local municipal politics.
Look, I live in Louisiana, but I'm sure it's the same in, like, other places. The thing that really, really tracks with me is the idea of your city cops as being, like, basically a tax collector for a system that otherwise has virtually no means of acquiring outside capital, right? So, like, all these fucking speed trap towns that I've been through in the Midwest that exist in Louisiana that I drive through, you know, like, every other week. I'm thinking about Iowa and Rain, right, for instance. Places where the city courthouse is, like, every time they charge a fine, they're essentially deleting money out of their local economy, right? Or, like, it's the same money circulating back through. And the job of, like, the local police is to catch people on the state highway speeding a little bit and then collect court fees or whatever, or the fine, right? And other than that, that town is fucked, right? Like, I don't know if they're doing civil asset forfeiture. I hope this, like, movie doesn't convince them that they should, right? Like, but they're doing, like, a much smaller version of this already. So it's, like, it's just perfect, right? For my view of, like, what's happened to places like this.
Yeah. The movie also explains why civil asset forfeiture laws were written and, like, you know, it was to combat cartels. And we're also seeing that, like, yeah, this is what it was written, but this is what it's actually being used for. So I think that's very interesting as well. Now,
yeah, I had to look up to see if Shelby Springs was, like, a real town in Louisiana, because I was like, it's so perfect. Like, this is exactly what this would look like.
Now, we have one character in particular that is very interesting. This is Officer Jessica Sims. And Alec, who is playing Officer Jessica Sims?
So it's played by a wonderful actress, Zanae Jay. So Zanae Jay plays the, let's say, like, the office cop.
The only, right? Like, black cop as well in the entire town.
By the way, yes, very importantly, the only black police officer in the precinct. And it seems as though she's basically, like, her car isn't as good as the other cars. She's still driving, like, an old Ford Interceptor. And these other guys have these new... Crown Vic, I'm sorry.
And everyone else is in these other Chargers. Guys
are, yeah, Chargers. And then like, she's kind of has, like office bitch duty. She's like a phone cop, kind of, right? In addition to, like, you know, sitting around in her car like most cops do. But, like, the other white police officers are these, like, aggressive go-getters, very brutal, right? And this is a lady that's employed for, obviously, because you need a person like that. But she sees and comments on these internal contradictions, right? That, like, the purpose of the police is the thing that they tell themselves is that they protect and serve, and she's witness to all of these, you know, all of this internal corruption and criminality that they're engaged in, right? And that becomes a point of friction and, like, a fracture within the brotherhood of cops, where they otherwise fucking, you know, there at various points in this movie, there are cops that just want to shoot and fucking bury Aaron Pierre in the woods.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, like, I don't have to be, like, too particular to tell you that this is something that Louisiana towns have a long, long history of doing, right? Just making people disappear. Oh, it happens, I think, at least three times in the movie. There is literally, like, the cops are connected in some way to a literal lynch mob that shows up at the, like, precinct, right? Mm-hmm. They call, like, the boys over, and it's, wouldn't you guess it, it's a bunch of fucking rednecks and pickup trucks show up to, like, because there's trouble at the police department.
Yep. They're there doing construction on a new jail because the police station does not have a jail, which is why they put everybody in county lockup, and then they send them off to state prison. So Zane J, going back to the theme of self-preservation, she knows that this police station is absolutely crooked and corrupt, and she ends up being like the one cop who stands up to the chief of police, but this is where the film kind of leaves things ambiguous. She gets orders to ram Aaron Pierre off the road, and instead she rams the chief of police off the road, and immediately all the other cops decide we're escorting Aaron Pierre to the hospital and we're letting him take evidence because the chief of police shot a cop. That he shot the informant cop.
We're talking about the finale of the film where the chief of police ends up shooting David Denman's character. And he's like bleeding out, and in this like fight for survival, Aaron Pierre ends up driving that police cruiser that he's in, right, like towards this hospital.
Yeah.
And things at this point have so degraded, right, that like the ability of them to contain this thing, to basically like murder Aaron Pierre and get away with it, has totally gone out the window.
Yeah.
It's very clear to like that the implication is, I think, that it's clear to now maybe a majority or at least some of the precinct, some of the people there at this like violent altercation, that the jig is up and they need to blame someone, and they turn on Don Johnson's character.
Yeah.
And I saw on the internet, I saw on Twitter that a lot of people, one, they complained about the non-violence aspect of this, meaning the non-lethal violence aspect of the film. They wanted to see blood and they didn't get as much of it as they wanted.
Right.
And two, they complained about this switch. And I thought, I mean, even when I watched the film, but definitely after I read some very good replies to that, that this in fact is like maybe the best thing about the film, right? The fact that it showcases the personal investment, right? The like brotherhood of cops as this truly self-serving attitude and like social structure, and that it has a point of breaking. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the cops are going to be reformed now. It just means that they need to contain whatever like response is going to come as a result of these actions.
Oh yeah.
They need to contain and control what parties get targeted by those responses.
Yeah.
And that's why Don Johnson, and presumably also the racist cop, the Emery Cohen cop, are going to get sold down the river. Maybe I should not use that metaphor.
No, you offer a sacrificial lamb to maintain the system.
Yes.
This is Derek Chauvin. Like, why do you think Derek Chauvin went to jail? Because they're like, if he does not go to jail, the whole thing falls apart. We have to have him go to jail.
And therefore, I don't think you need to believe that the finale of the movie, that the ending of the movie is somehow a grand, you know, spiritual reform of this corrupt institution. It's just the institution excising this particular cancer for its own, for the preservation of the rest of the body, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's say the movie ends where it ends, but let's say the movie goes on for like 6 more months. Do we really think the chief of police is going to go to prison? Do we not think that like there's going to be some way where they get like a lesser sentence? What happens to the town?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like the framework that created the corruption still exists. All of the issues and now they're even worse. Yeah. Right. Like all of the problems that they are trying to solve through this civil asset forfeiture illegal operation are just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah. And I mean that they through civil asset forfeiture, through this corruption, they started renovations on the police station. It keeps the whole town running. So like, everything's going to fall apart because this guy's getting arrested. Or, realistically, is the town going to band together to find a way to make this go away quietly? As quietly as possible.
As quietly as possible. Yeah, exactly.
Because
all the
footage that Aaron Pierre gets of the cops was destroyed. So what you need is, in order for like true justice to be doled out and the world of this film, what you need is for every single policeman in that station to testify against Don Johnson. And what's going to happen is, no matter what, Shelby Springs, or whatever the name of this town is going to get disincorporated.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And I should say, like, good. Like, I don't want to elicit sympathy.
That's another theme, right? Like, when they burn the courthouse down, part of you says, good. Like, get rid of all this shit. It's disgusting and it's been corrupt and racist and whatever, right? Like, yeah. For a century, probably. And it feels good to symbolically watch it burn. But then, that's the evidence that you would need to presumably... There are documents contained therein that you would need to presumably pursue and achieve justice.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Don Johnson might go to prison for shooting another cop, you know? But the cop played by Emery Cohen, he's already working at a different police station in another state.
Oh, fuck, that's true. Yeah, goddamn. Yeah, that would be perfect. I want to shout out, by the way, another performance that I thought was wonderful. That's... beloved James Cromwell played evil cops in so many fucking movies. And now he's so old that he basically has to play a judge because nobody's going to believe that he's a fucking police anything.
He not only plays the judge, he plays a Southern judge.
Yes. A Southern, like, I mean, look, like, Cajun accents are extremely hard to get right. Even like what they call red bone, which is like non-Cajun Louisianans, basically like north of like the Cajun belt, you get... what are basically like non-French Louisianans, Baptists, by the way, a lot of them kind of evangelical as opposed to the Catholic. They have a distinctly different accent. It's also a difficult accent to do. James Cromwell does a okay job, right? There's a lot of okay accents in here that are fine.
Yeah.
By the way, one of the good things I think about the film is that there's no universal Louisianan Southern accent. That's actually... in an odd way, that's actually kind of accurate. There no longer are these like universal accents in a place like Louisiana, because Louisiana is a thoroughfare. Lots of people moving within the state from other states out from our state out, right? And those like regional, so strong, unified, maybe regional accents have kind of been broken up. So what is sometimes a complaint for people that like, oh, this guy does a good Southern accent and this person is like not particularly trying, right? Or they sound different. Not that big of an issue. That's actually fairly accurate in an odd way.
Yeah.
But James Cromwell's great.
He's very, very good.
And he kill himself. He kill himself.
He attempts to. We never see him die. Sequel?
Oh, that's true.
Sequel?
Squeakquel?
That is one thing I'll say about this. Like, Jeremy Saulnier, if you are listening to our podcast, which I doubt you are, I would love to see Aaron Pierre's character again.
We love you. Send me your socks.
Yeah. I know we were talking about how sequels sometimes like absolutely suck, and it really depends on like if the vision is paid attention to more than anything else. I'd watch a sequel to Rebel Ridge in a second.
Oh, yeah. We love it. We love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, look, by the way, for the people out there, go watch Blue Ruin. Go watch Green Room if you haven't seen it. I think that one got a lot more press. And go watch Rebel Ridge. And I think what you're going to find is... Jeremy Saulnier has like a particularly bleak vision of America, and it comes through in his films. Like I said, Blue Ruin being the best example, that provides so much more like understanding than virtually anyone else, I think, making films like about America that isn't essentially a documentarian. This vision of like austerity and of people like left behind, really on like the fringes of society, is just phenomenal and exceedingly accurate. I mean, like, brutally, brutally accurate.
Yeah. It is a really good portrayal of, like, austerity will lead to corruption. People got bills to pay.
By the way, earlier today, we were talking about True Detective. He is a director of several True Detective episodes.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I was also thinking is... a sequel spinoff to this to be, somebody's got to investigate what went down in Shelby Springs. Rust and Cole, baby.
That'd be great. I mean, I would love it if they existed in the same universe, right? Like, they're perfect. They're perfect for each other, right? Rebel Ridge is not spooky enough to inhabit the True Detective universe, right? But, like, it's spooky in an incredibly human way. There's nothing supernatural about any of this. It is, and that's what makes it, I mean, I told Connor before he watched it, I said, this movie has phenomenally good politics because there is no mystification of any of this.
Yeah.
Everything is a human, is some logical version of a human decision, right?
Yeah.
It's all totally explainable.
It's, you know, we talked about this on the phone yesterday, that like a very boring villain is one who's just like, I'm bad because it feels good. And yeah, you do get to see Don Johnson called out on spending this like money on margarita machines, but you know, he gets the money out of survivalism, and yeah, he's also got corruption in there. He's taking a little bit off the top to buy fucking booze.
Well, no, I mean, look, if you've ever been in management, that's a real thing. You have to spend money on the fucking pizza party,
yeah,
right? Because, look, you don't have enough money to raise everybody's fucking... Well, you might, but you're not going to raise everybody's salaries.
Yeah,
well,
I saw
so
how
might as well fucking do the pizza party.
I saw how much money was in that evidence locker. Everyone could have gotten six figures.
So, and by the way, right, like, I don't mean to excuse the fucking asshole fascist cops in this film and in real life. Those people obviously get off on fucking like doing violence to the public in general, sometimes to people that they have obvious like racist issues with,
yeah.
Right? It's just that those like monsters that like society creates and like cultivates, these like fucking rabid dogs that, you know, fulfill this function in society, they do it for some kind of broader logic, right? In this case, it's literally stealing money. Sometimes it's, you know, literally stealing money, I guess. I don't know. Why do LAPD guys do it? I guess kind of for the same reasons, but just a different structure, right?
Yeah.
A self-fulfilling logic of, you know, getting funding for the city and for the police department, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking whatever. I mean, we're almost at an hour and a half, so I don't think we have enough time to do like an entire thing on like police corruption and civil asset forfeiture. Maybe we will in the future. But let's wrap this up. Do you have any final thoughts on the film, Alan?
Yeah, I was just going to mention real quick. So another film that I suggested doing a double feature with, but it would have been way too long, is Don Johnson, right? Known for Miami Vice and like fucking Nash Bridges and all this shit. Oh my God, for Django Unchained. He's just great, right? We love Don Johnson, especially when he's evil. He plays a great like evil character. He is the police chief in a different vision of like the cops in Dragged Across Concrete, in which he plays like, oh my God, Dragged Across Concrete is so funny. It's Chapo, I think, has talked about it years ago. It's like the fascist version kind of this film. And Don Johnson plays like the police chief who's like, yeah, they won't even let you beat the fuck out of guys anymore. Like, it's very funny. We don't have time to do that. And by the way, like, I think it does a disservice to Rebel Ridge to compare it to, Dragged Across Concrete in a way. But maybe we'll talk about like Dragged Across Concrete someday, because when I realized that it was Don Johnson and basically he looks the same, right? Like I was like, oh fuck, is this going to suck? Is this going to be like stupid and shitty? No, turns out Don Johnson rules, and Dragged Across Concrete is just kind of like a goofy ass movie.
Yes. Well, I didn't have time to watch Dragged Across Concrete, unfortunately, but I will soon. And who knows? Yeah, we might revisit it. Whatever. This is fun. Mm-hmm. I love when we have guests, but it's always nice when it's just the two of us and we're just like fucking around and talking about this kind of shit.
Did you, just real quick, did you ever watch Bone Tomahawk?
No, I desperately,
the one with the, like,
I really
the
want
evil,
to watch
crazy,
it.
Do you know anything about it?
I know that it's like, it's got some supernatural elements. It's like a Western horror, and I know that Kurt Russell's awesome in it.
Okay. I'm just going to say there are some things in it that are like Cthulhu-esque, and they're like weirdly like racial. And if you watch Dragged Across, that's Craig Zahler, right? He directed, I don't know if he wrote it. Yes, he did write it. So Craig Zahler wrote and directed Bone Tomahawk, and he wrote and directed Dragged Across Concrete. He also did Brawl in Cell Block 99, if you've seen that, with Vince Vaughn. So he wrote and directed all three of those. He might be definitely worth investigating for an episode.
Okay.
Because his shit is fucking crazy. He's got a lot of very American racial hang-ups.
Oh, wow. I love Ooh, guys yeah. like this with, I'm looking at him right now. Thinning on top, long ponytail.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes,
wow,
yes.
Wow, 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 yes. wow. Okay. All right, man. Well, I think that about does it for this week's episode. I guess I want to tell everyone, like I said earlier in the episode, if you've got anything that you want to say to us, send us an email at propagandospod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and X at propagandospod. And we have a Discord now. It's slowly gaining members. Join. I'd love to do like film screenings in there at some point in time. Post propaganda you love. Post agit propaganda you love. Like post everything.
Shit post.
Drive engagement. Keep the conversation going. Blah, blah, blah.
And I would like to underline to our listeners that you should be, everybody has a smartphone now, and you should be investigating local goings-on in your town. If you see anything that seems weird, take a picture of it. Call incessantly to local law enforcement and your city hall and say, I think something's happening, I'm not quite sure, but you should investigate it. And just keep doing that until they block your number or put you in jail.
And when that happens, get on your phone, get on your computer, go to Facebook, and make sure...
And call us.
Yeah, yeah. Send us an email.
Make sure you're following Propagandos.
If something going on in your town, send an email to Propagandos, and we'll definitely talk about it. Leave us a voice.
Yeah, we'll record a call as we call your local...
Yeah.
As we call your city hall and local law enforcement and bother them.
Leave us a voicemail. We will play it on the show.
We love to see it, folks. We love to see it. Poor Nick Hunter, or like our chubby, like pig-faced mayor. He's actually a very nice guy. Like we know him through like family. He's like a very nice guy, but like the people being like, Nick Hunter, you are Satan, sir.
Hey, that's what
you are destroying this town. Why won't you tell the truth?
That's what you get.
Why won't anybody investigate it? People just like posting that, like our local Fox affiliate did like an investigation where they just did a fact check and they're like, nope, they're from the sugar mill. And they're like, I don't believe the lying media. It's like, what do you want?
That's
dude?
What you get. That's what you get for running in politics. All right, everybody. That does it for this week's episode. Excelsior, Propagandos. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies. And
don't carry cash.
Your local Albertsons.